Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
A young boy worked part-time for a shoe cobbler. His job was to soak the leather used for shoe soles in the water and then pound it flat until it was hard and dry. This was very difficult work. The young boy was always left tired and breathless. One day he noticed that another cobbler didn't do all that hard pounding. He just nailed the wet leather to the shoe and set them aside to dry. When he asked his boss if he could do it that way, he was told no, that nailing the shoes together while wet would cause them to pull apart at the seams, and the customer would have to return much sooner for new shoes. When the boy protested that other cobblers did it that way, his boss replied, "They do it that way because they are just cobblers. I'm not a cobbler. I am a Christian who happens to make shoes. It would be wrong for me to offer anything less than my best service." Like this wise shoemaker, we need to understand that we are sent on a mission by the greatest master of all, and it requires our best service. Our mission is from God, and that's our topic today. We welcome you to today's broadcast, and we're certainly thrilled that you've chosen to study God's Word together with us. If you're in a position where you can, we invite you to get your Bible and a pen and a piece of paper and sit down and study God's Word together with us. As our time is very limited together, let's turn right to our topic. We began a number of weeks ago by looking at John chapter 1 and verse 6. The verse simply says that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this is a simple verse. It is not speaking about John the Apostle, the man who wrote it, but rather he's writing it about another John, John the Baptist, the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth, the one who came in the spirit and power of Elijah to make straight the path of the Lord. We began our study by looking at the first part of this verse, "There was a man." This part tells us very clearly that when God gives a mission, He often gives that mission to men. Now, He could do His will any way that He chose, but oftentimes God chooses to do His will through the efforts of man. Such is the case today. It also shows us, by looking at the word sent, that God is the one who has authority in this matter. We need to understand that when it comes to sending and being sent, that this really is a question of authority. You may recall from Matthew chapter 8, the Roman centurion. There he wanted Jesus to come and heal a servant of his who was sick. When Jesus offered to come to the man's house and heal him, the centurion said, "No, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just say the word and he will be healed." And he understood this because he understood authority. He said, "I myself am a man under authority, having soldiers under me." So he knew both how to give orders and how to take them. And he knew that Jesus had authority even over disease and could cause it to go away simply by sending it away. Well, God sends mankind to do His will, and that shows His authority over man. When we go on the mission that God sends us on, that shows our submissiveness to His authority. Sending and being sent is a matter of authority. We see from historical times through the Bible that God sent the prophets to do His mission a number of times. We also see that He sent John the Baptist, as we mentioned in our opening comments. And ultimately, He sent Jesus. 28 different times, Jesus claims to have been sent by God to this earth to do His will. When we look at the way that Jesus did His work, the way that He fulfilled His mission, that sets an example for us as to how we should fulfill our mission. We noticed, first of all, that Jesus was very serious about the mission given to Him, that His mission was one that sustained Him. It kept Him going because He understood He was doing what was right and important. His mission was His very reason for coming to earth. It wasn't something that He just happened to accomplish while here, but rather it was His reason for coming. His mission was to deliver someone else's message. We might think that strange. Jesus, being God Himself, came and delivered the message of someone else. But such is the case, for He delivered the message given Him by the Father. I invite you to study John chapters 14, 15, and 16, and you will see that such is the case. We also need to understand that Jesus was very urgent in fulfilling His mission. He knew that he had a very limited amount of time here on this earth, and he was very urgent to do the Master's will, to do the will of the Father in heaven, and complete his mission. We likewise should be urgent. Also, we understand that when his mission was finished, when it was completed, he returned home to the Father who had sent him. If we faithfully do what the Father has outlined for us, if we faithfully fulfill our mission, we too can look forward to that day when we can go home to be with the Father. One thing else that we need to mention is that for a person to be sent and to truly be submissive, he must be willing to be sent. At no time do we find anyone in the Bible who was ever forced to do God's will. Rather, we find men who are willing to go and do God's will. Jesus' willingness is seen in his death. He willingly laid down his life for man. John chapter 10, he says, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it again. No man taketh it from me. The fact that he died shows that he was willing to die for us, willing to do the Master's will. We also notice Paul, the Apostle Paul from the New Testament. In Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 16, we read, But rise and stand on your feet. Now this is Paul before Agrippa. And Paul is telling King Agrippa how he was converted. And in this process, he explains him meeting the Lord on the road to Damascus. And he says that he was told by the voice from heaven, this would be Christ speaking to him from the light, Rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and witness both of those things which you have seen and of the things which will be yet revealed to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of God or from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now that's the mission that God had outlined for the Apostle Paul. He was specifically to be the apostle to the Gentiles. This doesn't mean he didn't teach the Jews of his day, and it doesn't mean that other apostles didn't teach Gentiles of their day, but most of his work was done among the Gentiles. But notice that God didn't force him to fulfill this mission. Paul then replies, Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul had a choice. Just because God had outlined a mission for him didn't mean he had to fulfill it. Rather, he chose whether or not to obey God. He chose obedience. It's very interesting to me that the greatest of all to ever walk this earth is Jesus the Christ. Jesus was certainly greater than all, being the creator of all, according to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. But Jesus is also the only one that we find in all of the Bible who prayed the words, Thy will be done. We find him first in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, teaching his disciples to pray and praying, Thy will be done. Again in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 42, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to his crucifixion, he prays to the Father, Not my will, but thine. Truly submissive and willing to do the mission of the Father. But the last part of the verse, John chapter 1 and verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We zero in on the two words, from God. John was sent on a mission by God. And no matter who may send us on a mission in this life, whether it's our parents, whether it's a boss at work, whether we are an agency or an agent for the government that we work under, no matter what mission we might be sent on, none will be greater than the mission that the Father has for us. If we fulfill His mission, if we truly are sent from God, doing what He wants us to do, then we can be called men of God. That puts us in very good company. Moses and David and Elijah and Elisha from the Old Testament were all called men of God. It shows us that they were living a life of service, a life fulfilling the mission of the Father. That's why they were called men of God. In the New Testament, we find Paul speaking to the young man Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Here we're told that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice this, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We can be a man of God today. We can be a man of God by being equipped the way a man of God is equipped, and that is with the Word of God. We can be a man of God by being equipped with the Scripture, the Word that the Master has sent us. We also need to understand one other principle about being a man of God, and that is that a man of God can only speak what the Father gives him. In Numbers chapter 24, we have a very interesting study there about a man named Balaam. Balaam had the ability to bless or curse people, and it came true because it was the blessing or the cursing from God above. Now, there was a king of Moab called Balak. Balak was afraid of the Israelite nation as they came up out of Egypt, and he wanted Balaam to curse the Israelites. He should have known that it would not work for the man of God to curse the people of God, but that's what he wanted. Notice Balak's reply to him, or Balaam's reply rather to Balak. He said, "If Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord to do good or bad of my own will. What the Lord says, that I must speak." Balaam was completely correct in that. A man of God is limited to speaking what the Word of God says. He cannot go beyond it to do more or less. Looking at some men of God from the Bible and seeing what we can do in our lives to become the men of God, the women of God, servants of God, fulfilling His mission for us.